A reading from the book of Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkness counseled by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it was burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. It probably isn't unreasonable to say that many, if not all of us, have been in a situation instigated by someone else and have then been somewhat left in the lurch to deal with it and its consequences. Remember the quote from Laurel and Hardy in the 1930s film when Oliver says to Stan, well, here's another nice mess you've got me into. In our gospel reading today, I wouldn't have been surprised if the apostles hadn't quoted that phrase to Jesus, although they were a very long time away from the 1930s at that point. Jesus had suggested the boat trip himself, then promptly went to sleep. He was probably utterly exhausted, having spent the time previously attempting to teach through the use of parables which seemed to go over the heads of many, including the disciples, to whom we are told he explained everything in private. He had to, because they often just didn't get it. The application to our lives is that even when Jesus leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, we should fear no evil, for he is with us. We too can rest in faith during the storms of life, and our boat isn't going to sink because Jesus is on board. He's on board in our lives all the time, though it doesn't sometimes seem apparent to us. This text is, I'm sure, one with which you're all familiar, and I can remember hearing it when I was in Sunday school, as it's an account with a message that seems fairly easy to understand. As to whether we can always take it on board, pardon the pun, is another test of faith. In the alternative New Testament reading for this morning, from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, which you didn't hear, this message that God is always with us through thick and thin is heard again. We're told of Paul and his co-workers having faithfully represented Christ through every kind of suffering, and God's power has been obvious in and through him. From great endurance, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labours, sleepless nights and hunger. So not just sitting in a rocking boat then. But it was only through their faith in God that they got through these storms, even if they felt that he was sleeping as their boats rocked wildly in their storms. He was not. Let's now take a look at the Old Testament text that you did hear earlier from Job. We often seem to concentrate on the life of Christ and choose to study the New Testament texts, but we have here an example of that golden thread travelling right the way through the Bible to link all God's messages, and we shouldn't forget that. God finally speaks to Job out of the whirlwind. He speaks about the created order and contrasts what God can do with what humans are able to do. God begins to talk about the wonders of the world that he had created. He formed the earth, set its structure, put bounds to keep the sea under control, created all the heavenly bodies, and even controlled the weather. All through this speech, God reminds Job, using what sounds like sarcastic asides, that mere humans could never accomplish all of this, and don't we know it? When I was reading this, I was wondering what was the purpose of this creation talk. Job remained in the dark about why he or any human should suffer the storms of life. Just as those disciples in the boat were suffering so many years later in fear of their lives, as the great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. As often happens, we form questions for God. And with the disciples in the boat, the answer was clear, as Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And he stopped the storm. Note how Jesus says, "Have you still no faith?" Implying after all he taught them, they still didn't completely trust him. Sometimes, though, we have questions for God, and when the answer comes, it doesn't deal directly with the question that we raised. Have you all been there? Perhaps the questions were unanswerable in human terms. There are mysteries beyond human comprehension, such as how to make a world or how to explain suffering. Job is advised to recognize human limits and trust that God will take care of what he and others cannot know or do. It's worth remembering. Further, this creation talk also suggests that one can look for signs of God's work in the created world. The order of the seasons, the power of waves and storms, the beauty of trees and flowers and lakes and mountains all point to a benevolent creator who made and sustains this world. We can find something about God by looking carefully at the world that he has made. Job and his friends were completely wrong about God. God is simply not in the business of rewarding and punishing human beings. God's revelation to Job and to us is that the universe is far bigger, far stranger, far more mysterious than we can ever imagine. As we read, "Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped." We must learn that we are not in creation's center either. The world is not our oyster. but it is God's oyster, because God is God, and we humans do not determine how God will act, nor are we always the reason for God's actions. The world is God's, not ours. Job needed that revelation, and so do we. Have faith. In the words of Julian of Norwich, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Amen.